And for me, yes, I was really blessed to watch that video when I watched it the first time. I think it offers us a rich opportunity for discussion about vocation. What is our understanding of the word vocation? Like the very first speaker, he said something about being a town planner, and he thought that when he talked about vocation, it was about ordained ministry. So, what is your understanding of vocation? Any thoughts?
Serving others.
Serving others. Fantastic, yes. Anybody else have something to say? Your thoughts on vocation? Yeah, it's all around service. You know, it's all around service. And this is what I found from the Methodist Church's website. It says, vocation means what we are called by God to be and to do. For some, this is a specific calling to a particular kind of ministry in or on behalf of the church. For others, it could mean serving God through faithful discipleship in everyday life. So I know there are some people within this congregation who take their Christian calling very seriously. Some people have known the call of God on their lives forever since they came to know themselves as who they are. For others, the experience of the call of God has been maybe in a more dramatic, life-changing way. Maybe something happened to you in your family and you got thinking like, what is there to do? You know, I've got to give my life to God. I've got to serve God and humanity. So sometimes the people experience that experience that they're also called that. You know, some people have been in a place of criticism, always criticizing what others are doing, until they themselves came to a point where, you know, something happened and they met with God face to face, and then the surrender was there. So as we saw in the video, there are many and varied ways that God calls people to the same purposes and to the same universal body of Christ. And in fact, this seems like a very small way in which to exercise our vocation. And we can trace God's calling on people's lives back to the days of Abraham and Sarah, of Moses, of Jeremiah, of Isaiah. We had Isaiah here, we had Esther, you know, and these are people, you know, who, when God called them, they did marvelous things. And in the New Testament, we had Peter and Andrew and James and John, the fishermen, and indeed, the first ones to respond to the calling of Jesus on the shores of Galilee. But yes, isn't it good that people are still sensing that call to follow Jesus? Last week? Yeah. I was in Sheffield myself at the Cliff College. They're discerning, you know, people who felt or who are sensing God's call in their life. Because in the Methodist Church, there is a process. You know, when you feel or when you sense that God is calling you, you know, we start from our local church. You talk to your minister, and then you go on to the district, and then there are people there who try to tease out what God is calling you to. And then you've got to go to the connection, and then it goes on from there. So it has been a privilege, you know, to journey alongside people who sense the call of God on their lives. And for me myself, when I was really sensing that call, you know, it took a lot, you know, because I was always like, no, not me, God, I'm too busy, I'm too that, and this, and all sorts of excuses, you know, I was giving, until I came face to face with it, and I could not give the excuses anymore. So that's where I am today. And so I came up with a theme for today, which I titled, What is Ours to Do? what is ours to do. Our gospel reading from John this morning is filled with moments that provide some kind of a tasty composition. We see in our mind's eye Jesus building a charcoal fire where he cooked fish. We see Simon Peter. We see Thomas, also known as Didymus. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. The sons of Zebedee, the beloved disciple, and the others pile into boats and drive fishing all night. And what did they catch? They caught nothing. They were uninspired and empty-handed. We see that as day breaks, a voice calls from the shore, which says, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the nets in because of the large number of fish that they were able to catch. So moreover, they were invited. So maybe we can call it the first Christian men's breakfast on the beach on the Sea of Tiberias. Has anyone been privileged to enjoy breakfast on the beach before? I think that would be very, very nice, wouldn't it? Having breakfast on the beach. That would be so nice. I think it must feel awesome to be able to do that. And, you know, more when you're in the company of Jesus to enjoy a sumptuous meal. Jesus himself invites them to come ashore and join him in this fish fry, holy meal of shared fish and bread at the water's edge. Jesus always does extraordinary things, doesn't he? And I'm reminded of when he fed those 5,000 people on the hillside with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he was able to feed all those people. And yes, we continue with the further details of our gospel reading. There's yet another miracle, another revelation within this gospel passage. It's always the conversation with Peter. It's always Peter. And the symmetry here is clear. If we remember Peter's evil denial of Christ during the Passion, is now also addressed with a threefold chance at redemption. So if we go back to the Passion story a few weeks ago, it was Peter who denied Christ, wasn't he? 3 times he did. Now he's saying, "Yes, yes, yes," 3 times. "Do you love me?" Jesus asked him. "If so, feed my lambs." "Do you love me?" Jesus asked him. "If so, tend my sheep." "Do you love me?" Jesus asked him. "If so, oh, follow me." I'm sure anybody could get kind of like uneasy or maybe even angry about somebody asking you the same question all over again. But I think we can understand where Jesus is coming from, with Peter's denial not so long ago. Now, yes, yes, yes. You know, Jesus, maybe he's not testing Peter, but he is stating him in community of believers by allowing him to confess faith the same number of times he denied the faith earlier. And this is the thing about discernment as well, you know. And because when we say we hear the call of God upon our lives, this is kind of like, we've got to be sure, you know, that it's not just a dream we're having. You know, is it real? You know, so people tend to tease out that calling several times on different occasions, trying to ensure that you're really sure that it's God calling you to do whatever God is calling you to do in service. Jesus is drawing Peter back into the community to which he belongs and accepts him for who he is. And so in response to each of Peter's confessions, Jesus responds by giving him good work to do. He tells him, "Feed my sheep, be a leader, look out for others, Devote yourself to this community. Peter is reinstated into the community of the faithful, and he is to engage in service. We hear that word again, service, over and over again. And to follow Christ, even to those places and to those people to which we might not want to go. Peter gets it, and he again confesses, Lord, you know everything. Lord, you know that I love you. Three times he is commissioned to be not only a fisher of men, now he is also empowered and inspired and equipped to be a shepherd with Jesus. He is equipped to feed the lambs. He is equipped to tend the sheep. What about us? What is ours to do? My dear brothers and sisters at the Lord, we all need a sense of purpose. The belief that what we do matters. So that if this church is closed today, for example, or any other day that it's open for whatever, would people miss the closure of this place? Would people question why is the church closed? So we have a sense of purpose. We are here for a reason. We are here because we've been called by God to establish this place of worship, this place of serving our community, right here at Southgate. I once read a book titled Growing Up in New Guinea, written by a highly influential American cultural anthropologist, author, and speaker by the name of Margaret Mead. Maybe some of you might have come across one of her books. The book is about her encounters with indigenous people of the Manus province of Papua New Guinea in the southwestern Pacific Ocean, before those people have been changed by missionaries and other Western influences. Margaret compares their views on family, on marriage, on childbearing, etc., to those of the American people, because she was American. And one of her observations was that Christians were behaving badly on the island, which was kind of like, what? Christians were behaving badly, she said. She said that the various Christian denominations came into the island and began competing for the souls of the people. The natives of the island observed that there was nothing attractive about the Jesus the churches claimed to follow. However, she said that when the Roman Catholic nuns arrived, everything changed. And why? How did that happen? She said that they, the Roman Catholic nuns, established a hospital and a school to teach the people. In her analysis, it seemed to her that the sisters had the right idea. And so we put it in the context of Jesus' conversation with Peter. If you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. We might not be in that situation. What is ours to do? I grew up in Sierra Leone in West Africa. I am a beneficiary of missionary, you know, resources, because I went to a Methodist school. I was able to get an education from the Methodist church, who'd seen the need to establish a school in Sierra Leone that would enable me to have an education. And we know that in the past, there were lots of missionaries around, going around the world in poor places, you know, trying to enable people to live life in its fullest, to enable people to live with dignity. And I believe that this is still going on. We've got lots of people even offering in their call to be mission partners. So there are doctors, there are lawyers, there are different people who are offering their services, going to places where people would need those services. So it's not all about just being here, you know, and looking out. There are lots of needs in the world. And what is ours to do? What is God calling us to do in this community, in this town, in this country, in the global world? What is our sense of purpose? What is ours to do in a world that needs to be fed, that needs to be tended to? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Jesus said, we are all called now by Jesus according to our gifts, whether it is that to teach or to preach, to organize things, to pray, whatever form of service we are able to offer, Jesus challenges each one of us to go now to them. And the embodied love that Jesus is speaking of in this breakfast on the beach scenario is the love that involves mundane activity. Sometimes it's not the big, big, massive things. It's just the little things that enable people, you know, to live with dignity. It's just the little things that enable somebody to have a smile on their face. Love's action is not always glamorous. And sometimes it's not even successful or fun. It can be repetitive, disappointing, or unrecognized. And sometimes we look out at an empty building, sometimes at a shrinking congregation, and wonder what in the world is going on. What happened to the days when people flocked to worship and spent hours each week in church-related activities? Sometimes we wonder whether we should close all our churches. But here is the thing, my dear brothers and sisters. Jesus is still calling us to mission and ministry here in Southgate. And I'm sure if you look around, with all of you sitting, you must be smiling like, what a variation, what a variety of people sitting here, the diversity, you know, of cultures and everything. I'm sure you're happy about that. God is calling us to mission in Enfield. God is calling us to mission in the United Kingdom. God is calling us to mission in the big wide world. Jesus is calling us to cast our nets on the other side of the world. The universal church is casting its nets, maybe on the other side. The universal church is casting a wide net, a resilient net, a net fashioned to draw in all sorts and conditions of people, all under our Lord's guidance in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm finished with asking the question again from the theme. What is ours to do? Do you sense God calling you to be part of this movement of mission and ministry in the world in which we find ourselves today? What is ours to do in this part of the vineyard that we are placed? The prophet Jeremiah says that we should look after the community in which we are placed, because in their prosperity, we too will find our prosperity. If we live in a neighborhood where there is high levels of crime, we are all not safe. What can we do to enable the flourishing of the societies, of the communities, of the places where we are placed? What can we do to enable the flourishing of all the places, maybe that we don't even know about, but we see on our TV screens that people are suffering? What is ours to do? Jesus is calling us to do some strategic thinking about how we can continue to serve the present age. And I love that hero Charles Wesley that goes like this: a charge to keep my heart, a goal to glorify, a never-tired soul to save and fit it for the sky. It goes on to say that to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Jesus is calling us to follow him into this new reality of serving the present age and a new way of being God's people in the world. This call would also take us to places and to people that we surely could not yet imagine. It would be a blessing of all our work and efforts and the recreation of them as God-filled, grace-filled gifts. So instead of maybe standing around, waiting, wondering, and thinking, what should I do? Let's ask ourselves a few questions. Where do you find Jesus in your daily life? What have you heard God saying to you? Do you believe that with God all things are possible? So whether we're called to lead God's people in ministry, vocation, or whether we're called to love, to tend, to feed one another in this beautiful, broken world, Jesus speaks to all of us as he spoke to Peter. Do you love me? If so, feed and tend and follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.